I'm going to ask your whole family to come. If you don't mind, just join me here. There's parents still coming and a couple of kids finding their way. So it's a good opportunity to tell some jokes. And Now, we just want to say thank you for coming. And the input into our church is real. And I think it was Brad or someone who said it in the prayer meeting each time, or PJ, sorry. I think it was good. It was a good thing, so I think it was yours this time. Usually if it's something good, I claim it for myself.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I said that first, but every time we've had our good friends come, there's an input into this house and takes us to another place. And, you know, even just, it seems like a simple thing of putting up a word of knowledge on the screen. That was John and Jan when they were here. And just simple thing and taking steps of faith. And we've seen amazing things. And so each one just leaves something. Yeah. So your challenge for reading the Word of God and that extra 15 minutes in the morning, I could take all morning and explain how that cuts so deep. And I'll probably not invite you back. But it's like, I want revival out there. I don't want it here.
Yeah, no, that's right.
But just huge. And we just want to say thank you. And thank you, Sawyer, for coming, being a blessing, staying with us in our home, getting to know you guys. So when we see you at conferences and things, it's different.
Yeah.
Changes things. Yeah. It's like, oh, we know these guys. These are real people. They're friends. They are our family. So I just want to honor them in front of the church. They've been faithful Friday, Saturday, just coming, leaving their family there, leaving their church there. Please give our love back to them and thank them for allowing you to come and be with us. It's a cost. It's a price, but it's a joy. You love it. You say it. He's a pastor at heart. I'm not. He is. And he loves people. I do. But they are amazing and have been a blessing to us personally. So we just want to say thank you. Can we just, thank you. Thank you. Amen. They don't clap like that for me. So I'm, hey, no. No, just bring my, no, let's. It has been a good weekend.
Yeah, it's good.
I just want to pray for you. Is that
sure.
Okay?
Yeah,
Father, thank you. As Brian brings the word this morning, I thank you for this couple, for the faithfulness of God in their lives, their testimony, for the long plod, for the long haul, in this for life, in this for eternity. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for families that stand and are faithful. And I just pray you'll pour back into them. May they reap many blessings in their church back home and in their lives. Thank you for health. Thank you for traveling grace and mercy as they leave us today. And I just pray, God, an anointing in this time right now. I pray you'll anoint his lips. I pray you'll anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Be free. Thank you.
Amen. Well, we want to thank you. I enjoy life. Honestly, it's been a pleasure for us. And it does feel, actually, it feels like family, you know. It feels when you come to a church and it feels like home and it's the same spirit of faith and same spirit of worship and same, you know, same heart for the Lord. It's easy. And when you have great pastors and great leaders that are so generous, we've been so blessed just to be in your home. And to be with you and to learn from you, to grow from you. And it's been a real pleasure and honor for us. And so I'm going to let actually my wife kind of talk about our church and our family a little bit before we get into the Word. So I'll hand it over to you.
All right. Well, I think you all know we're from Abbotsford, BC, and LifeSpring Church. We've actually been there since 2015, moved up from Portland, Oregon. But Brian is BC boy, born and raised, so moved back home basically for him. And we do, I know a lot of you already heard this, but we do have four children, and we got to bring Sawyer with us, so he said we brought our favorite. So we're not telling the others, but our oldest, Judah, is in his first year of Bible college down in Portland, actually, and then our daughter, Delaney, is 16. We have a son, Carter, who's 13, and Sawyer, who's 11. But I just wanted to kind of reiterate basically what Brian just said, and I was talking with someone else this morning, actually. It's pretty incredible, and we're not just saying this, to come to a church we've never been to in another province, and the same Spirit is here. It's like you jump into worship, and the best way I can say it is your home. This is heaven, right? We're going to be worshiping God together, and it's pretty incredible. And I want to say to you, if you're here in this church, you are in a good place. This is a healthy church, healthy leadership team, and it's hard to find sometimes to know that you can put your roots down and grow in a place, but how important that is, just that community, that leadership that's there. And so we really do thank you and honor you. I wanted to just, actually, I'm sorry, Toby, you're on my heart. I was praying for her yesterday, and, you know, we talked a little bit. And this morning, God woke me up with a verse for you. And so I want to read this. It's Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And I want you to hear the order of that. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And I think how often we get that, we want that order reversed, right? Like, Lord, when I feel anointed and ready and full of your word, then I'll go share. When I feel like I'm equipped enough, then I'll go, and I'll go do your work. And I believe this is for you, but I actually believe it's for a lot of people here in the church. That, and our pastor, you actually said it this morning in prayer, that it's like it's the obedience comes and then the anointing. But it's so uncomfortable, right? We want to feel ready. I want to feel whatever that is, like if I'm going to go speak to someone. I'm not talking about just stuff on the stage, although that's part of it. You know, you want to feel like, okay, I'm ready to sing, or I'm ready to play the piano, or I'm ready to speak, and I've got a word. I have literally had times where he's handing me the mic, and I have no idea what I'm about to say. And it's a scary place to be, and sometimes doesn't go well. But man, God honors obedience. But I'll tell you where it really comes out is when it's in the places that you're in your week, in the workplace, in a grocery store, talking with another mom at school pickup time. You're going to notice people if you're willing to. And we feel like, okay, God, what do I say? What should I do? Sometimes you've just got to take that step, go over, open your mouth, and start talking. And let God give you that word of knowledge. And it's really hard at first, but the more you do it, the more you respond, the easier it becomes, the more natural it becomes. And our world needs it so much right now. We need to be anointed. We need to be light. The darker it gets, the brighter his light shines. And you know, there's a lot of other people open up their mouths and shouting a lot of things at everyone right now. We talked about it yesterday. The world is loud. It's really loud right now. How much more do we need to be anointed and confident in who God is? You don't have to be confident in who you are. You're his. So he's going to go with you. He wants to reach that person even more than you do. He wants you to see other people around you and to be know that you are equipped, but you might not feel like it before you step out. I'm sure your pastors could tell you. I mean, honestly, you guys are heroes to me, how you've responded in obedience and you're traveling across the world. I like to have everything in order and know where things are going to go, and you go. You know, and you said it happens fast. And I'm sure sometimes it's you get on the plane and like, whoa, what have we done? What's going to happen? That kind of obedience, God just loves it. He's going to honor that and use that. So I just want to encourage you with that today. And I'll stop now so that you can preach.
Lord, we just thank you for a great service today and that great word. No. She's a preacher too, that's for sure. Oh, I'm a kind of a down here with the people kind of preacher, so I like to be down. I don't like stages. I like to be where the people are. Anyways, what a joy it is to be with you at Enjoy Life Church. Again, my name is Brian, my wife Deanne, our family. We pastor LifeSpring Church in Abbotsford. If you think I sound American, that's because we paid taxes in America for 10 years, so that makes me pretty American. We were down there for 10 years at a church called now Man House, which was City Bible Church. We were down there for a decade. My wife grew up there. And we followed the call of God to move back to Canada where I grew up. on the West Coast, and we took over a church almost 7 years ago, and we took it over, and God is doing great things. We're grateful for what the Lord is doing. It's been a stretch during COVID, of course, as it has been for everybody, but God is faithful. He's building His church, and it's my favorite scripture, and I know I say that literally every service that I preach, I say the same thing. It's my favorite scripture, but my favorite scripture really is that He's building the church and that the gates of hell will not prevail. And if He's building the church, then I don't need to worry. Then it's not on me, it's not on you, it's not on your pastors, it's not on your leaders. He's building the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, and He's doing a great thing. And I want to say, as I was praying for Enjoy Life Church and just been so grateful, I've always wanted to come and have waited for an invitation. Didn't want to invite myself, but I wanted to come because we have known, at least from a distance, some of your leaders and really love them and appreciate them and have gotten to know them. And then hearing the heart and spirit of your pastors has really stirred us and encouraged us. And I thought, man, we want to get there. And what a name, Enjoy Life Church. I mean, that's a great name, and we love that. But as I was praying for the church, I really felt stirred. And the Lord really spoke to me then, and He gave me a vision of Enjoy Life Church. And the vision I had was of a barn. And the barn, when I walked in, it was this significant barn. And God began to show me pictures of sheep coming through the door of the barn. And I sat there, or stood there, and as I opened the doors of this barn and just watched sheep coming in to the barn, watching them and watching shepherds taking care of the sheep. It was this incredible picture. And God began to speak to me about this church. And I want to prophesy with my eyes wide open. But I want to prophesy to you and let you know that this church, God is bringing people. And God is bringing, He's going to fill the house with broken people. He's going to fill the house with hurting people. People coming, as we heard today, with addictions and brokenness. And there's no shame in that, by the way. There's no shame in coming to the altar and saying, hey, listen, I need Jesus. There's no shame in that. But I felt very strongly that God is going to build this place and that you need to get yourselves ready for what God is going to do in the next season. I really believe this very strongly. And like I said, I prophesy with my eyes open. God's going to bring people. And what it's going to require of you is to step into another season, step into another level of leadership in your life, another level of faithfulness. If you've been kind of dancing around the outside of the church and you've been here and you're not really involved, you're not really giving, you're not really serving, it's going to require you to step into another level in the next season, because God's going to bring people that you are going to minister. God's going to bring people that you are going to lead, and you're going to shepherd, and you're going to pray for, and you're going to counsel, and you're going to meet at the coffee shops. Len and Lori can't do it all. Your leaders, they can't do it all. They need you. And I believe the Lord is stirring hearts as we go through the Word this morning. I believe He's really going to stir your heart in this season. And I know we're all busy and we got all kinds of stuff going on, but I really see God doing something significant in this church. There's a great spirit in this church. If you are visiting this church, you can stop looking anywhere else. This is your church. There's health in this church. There's strength in this church. There is consistency of leadership in this church. And that's what the world needs right now. We don't need more smoke machines and razzle-dazzle. What we need is strong, consistent leaders that love Jesus and know how to build leaders and build the church. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. That's what we need, healthy churches for this hour. And that's what this is. So if you're a guest here, don't be a guest any longer. Put your roots down. Let yourself grow into the house of the Lord. Okay, that's what I feel so strongly in my spirit to get ready. I feel, I know you're wrestling with it, but I feel like there's going to be more services. I feel like, and it's unusual, too, what God is doing in the kids' ministry. You need to understand that. Like, it's unusual, but I mean that in a good way, not in a bad way. Like, it's not bad. It's good what God is doing, the families that He's bringing, that God is building an army of young people in this church that God is going to use. He's going to use them to reach a generation. I had a word for country before I knew he was a kids pastor. I just said, I feel like God wants to use you to reach a generation. And he's got His hand on you. I just saw this big picture of a hand on Him to use Him. And, oh, yeah, I hang out with the kids. Oh, awesome. That's great. And I really believe that God has positioned country. And He's positioning this church to raise up an army of young people to minister to a generation. Come on, because there's a broken generation. I mean, you look what's going on in our world today. People are broken. People are hurting. And they need Jesus. And there's an army coming from this place that is going to bring about a revival in the city and in the church. It's awesome. All right, well, we're going to jump into the Word this morning. If you got your Bibles, I'm going to preach from Philippians chapter 1 this morning. And my message title for you is Chain Reaction. Chain Reaction. I want to talk to you about some chains. And I got to let you know that we are from the West Coast. I'll probably go golfing tomorrow. That's right. You can hate on me if you like. But I'm kidding. I'm not going to go golfing tomorrow. But we have enjoyed our time here. Love your pastors. Love your church. They're calling me Avocado Toast. That's my new nickname. Because I didn't, because I didn't order raw beef at the restaurant. So that's what they call it. So if you want to call me Brian or Avocado Toast, it's okay. There's no shame in that. Just being from the West Coast. Okay, Philippians chapter 1. And if you were here this weekend, what we've been talking about is that God wants to bring a breakthrough. He wants to bring a breakthrough in the church. He wants to bring a breakthrough in your life. Now, we love to shout about the breakthrough, don't we? Man, we love to shout about the miracle, but the reality is that God doesn't just want to bring a breakthrough in your situation. Sometimes God brings a miracle and we shout to the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Darlene Check, back in the day, you know, we shout to the Lord, and we thank God for the miracle, but the reality is more often than not, God wants to bring a breakthrough, not in your situation, He wants to bring a breakthrough in your spirit. He's after something in you. It's a lot easier to pray, God, would you change that person? God, would you take care of my spouse and my marriage would be better. God, if you would just help me win the lottery, then my finances will be better. God, if you would just take care of this situation. And God is up in heaven saying, listen, you might be praying for the wrong thing. Now, it's okay to pray for your situation, but God wants to bring a breakthrough in your spirit. He wants to do something inside of you. And I think if you go into every situation and challenge, understanding God's actually after something inside of me, it will help you see what you're going through a little bit different. And this is what we learn from Paul in Philippians chapter 1. Paul in Philippians chapter 1, he's actually in prison. He's writing what we call a prison epistle. There was four of them, I believe. And you can correct me on that later, Pastor. But Ephesians, Philippians, come on, where is it? It's somewhere in here. Anyways, it's one of the prison epistles I'm blanking out at the moment. This is not good for the guest. Galatians, Philemon, that's what it is. So he's writing this prison epistle. He's writing this book of Philippians, whose main theme, by the way, is joy and rejoicing. He's writing an epistle from prison, literally with chains on his hands. And what I want to learn from Paul is, Paul, how do you go into a situation where you don't even know if you're going to be alive tomorrow? You don't know if you're going to be executed. You don't know if you're going to be in jail for the rest of your life. You don't know if your ministry is over and dead. You've got chains on your hands. But somehow, Paul was able to write this book on joy, which would indicate to me that he may have had chains on his hands, but he didn't have chains in his heart. The chains of his situation, because we've all got chains, right? We've got situational chains, and we've got heart chains. We've got situational chains that we don't know how to deal with. Things going on in our life, you know, curveballs that come in life, and you get a phone call from the doctor or you get a phone call from a relative or something's going on, and man, it just kind of turns your world upside down. We've got chains, and we don't know how we can do anything about them. And a lot of times the chain of your situation puts a chain on your heart and begins to impact your soul and your spirit, your mind, your will, your emotions. The chain of your situation and the reality of what you're going through begins to impact what's going on the inside of you. And what Paul is trying to teach us is that, hey, listen, you might have chains on the outside, but you can have freedom on the inside. There, you can be free from the chain of that would be on your heart and your spirit and find freedom. And that's what Paul's going to teach us in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12 is where we're going to start. We're going to learn from Paul how we can be free from these chains. Because you might look at Paul and you go, well, Paul, maybe, you know, was he free from pain? I mean, I've got pain. That's why I've got chains. No, Paul wasn't free from pain. Well, what about uncertainty? No, Paul had lots of uncertainty. How about accusations? No, Paul had a lot of accusations coming against him. And there's a lot of things we use to in our lives to say, as an excuse to say, it's okay for me to feel the way I feel because of what's going on in my life. And what Paul is pointing out to us is very different. And so here we're going to start in verse 12. We're going to hear Paul's perspective while he is in chains, and he's writing this book on joy. Verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Now, think about that for a moment. Think kind of the divine perspective that Paul has that he's trying to show to the church in Philippi. Listen, I'm in chains. I'm actually in prison. But what you don't understand and what you don't see is what I see is that God is actually using this to advance the gospel. Verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, now listen, not in spite of my chains, but because of my chains. And I'm praying for that kind of faith that Paul had. Because of these chains, because of the situation, I can't change and there's nothing I can do about it. Because of these chains, he says, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love. Now watch this. Knowing I am put here. I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. That's a man that understands the sovereignty of God. I am put here. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you felt like you were in a prison and you didn't know where you were going to turn or how it was going to turn out. Paul said, listen, I've been put here. I've been put in this situation, but not just what it's going to do for me, but how it's going to serve to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, he's always building the church. This is what he's always doing. You know, there's a type of faith out there that would teach that if you've got enough faith, problems will never come your way. And can I tell you, that's not actually in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, hey, if you got enough faith, if you just name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, you know, you just get a hold of it in faith, brother, that somehow you'll be able to avoid all these challenges and prisons and chains of your life. That's not the gospel. It's not the Bible. The Bible actually says that it's God's will that you will suffer. Nobody gets excited about that scripture. I don't like that scripture at all, to be honest. But Paul said, I'm put here. He said, I'm here because of what Christ is doing, and I acknowledge the sovereignty of God over my life. And he said, the former priest Christ, out of self-ambition, not sincerely supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. And this is where it brings it all around, verse 18. But what does it matter? I actually thought about calling this message, what does it matter? Get a bracelet, WDIM. What does it matter? What does it matter? What does it matter? Because isn't it true? A lot of the stuff we wrestle with in our hearts and our minds, we come to realize a little bit later on, God's already been working out the whole time. And we spend a lot of time wrestling over stuff and crying through the night and fearful and worried. And God's like, listen, if you would just trust me, I got this whole thing worked out. If you would just trust me, I'll see you through to the end. It's one of the things that now I have. As I've gotten a little bit older, I have this beautiful thing called perspective. And when I was younger, I used to be a lot more, not fearful, but like worried, like, God, what's going to happen? How's this going to work out? But what perspective gives you is the opportunity to go through a few situations and you realize, I don't need to worry. What does it matter? What does it matter what people think of me? What does it matter what their opinion is or their motive is? It doesn't matter. All that matters is that Christ is glorified through my life. And if I just trust him a little bit more. That's why I was challenging people to get up a little bit earlier in the day and just spend time in prayer in the Word. Why? Because if it rearranges your perspective, because in 2022, our theology is far more formed by Instagram and TikTok than it is by the Bible, and that's a problem.
We got a lot of people, naysayers, on Instagram and TikTok, and we hear something and we go like, oh, maybe, oh, that's kind of true. I never thought of that before. Instead of just getting in the Word and allowing the Word to shape your ideas and allow the Word to shape your faith and allowing the people of God and the community of God and the Holy Spirit to begin to develop you. What does it matter? Paul said. He said, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Paul's going to teach us a few things about what it means to have chains, maybe in our situation, but freedom on the inside, and approach our perspective a little bit different. So I'm going to give you 4 points. Here's the first one. My spirit does not need to be a reflection of my situation. This is the Paul's perspective in Philippians chapter 1. My spirit does not need to be a reflection of my situation. You all know those people on social media. You know every bad thing that's going on in their life all the time because they complain about everything on social media all the time. And they're just always like complaining and venting on social media all the time. And as a guest preacher, I can say this is just stop that. If that's you, just don't do that. Just stop. I won't be here tomorrow. I love you, but stop it, okay? Just, I can give you a hug. We can hug it out after if you don't like that, but just stop. Because what Paul is teaching us is that what's happening in your situation does not have to be reflected by what's happening in your spirit. Your spirit doesn't have to also acknowledge what's going on. You might be going through some pain. You might be going through some challenges, but your spirit can have a different perspective, and you can position your spirit differently, even though chains might be coming on your life on the outside. Yeah. What Paul understood is that he had a different source for his joy. This whole book, Philippians, is about joy and rejoicing. And Paul teaches us that he had a different source for his joy. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, I've heard a lot of messages about happiness and joy and the difference between the two, and I probably even preached a few of those kind of messages, but can I tell you, they are connected. Happiness and joy are connected. You can't go around moping with your face on the ground and say, I've got the joy of the Lord. No, you don't. You're missing something. I'm sorry. It's not quite the way it works. Joy and happiness. Paul understood, this is what 2 Peter 1:3 says. His divine power has given us everything we need. Everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him. Knowledge of Him. That's a key point right there again. Everything you need is through your understanding and knowledge of Him. And if you never crack open the book, if you never get to church, if you never get in the prayer closet, you're not going to have a knowledge and an understanding of who God is and how He operates. And you're always going to question what's going on in your life. Because there's the kind of Christian, when the chains come on in their life, they run from God because they don't understand what God's doing. And they blame God and they get angry at God. And again, I understand those emotions. And that's certainly not to minimize any pain that you may have experienced in your life or be walking through right now. But the reality is, if you could see it from a different perspective, you can have the same kind of perspective that Paul had. You can actually walk through some stuff and still have some joy in your heart. You can walk through some stuff because we all know those people. People that have gone through pain and yet can still worship the Lord. Now, it might be through tears. Might be through some brokenness, but yet they worship the Lord. It's an understanding. There's a different source. My situation may be tough, but my spirit is all good. I may be walking through tough times, but it's all good in this hood because the Holy Spirit is ruling my emotions. The Holy Spirit is leading, and I recognize, as we talked about yesterday, that it's the Holy Spirit that produces fruit in my life. The Holy Spirit produces joy. So you might be going through a situation, you said, okay, Pastor Brian said I should be joyful, so no, I'm going to be joyful, and I'm going to choose joy. And that's not what I'm saying. That's not how you get joy. How you get joy is you put yourself in the presence of the Lord and you allow the Holy Spirit. Come on, if you're walking through a situation and you got some chains, you need to spend more time with Jesus, not less. You need to get up, not 15 minutes early. You might need to get an hour early. And you might need to just turn on some worship. You might just need to get, you know, some Maverick City, or get some Hillsong, or get some, you know, Elevation, and just get some worship going, and just allow that thing, the Holy Spirit, to begin to transform your spirit from the inside out, so that your spirit is not just reflected by your situation, but your situation and your spirit can be two very different things that are happening at the same time. All right, number two, the story I tell is shaped by the perspective I have. The story I tell is shaped by the perspective I have. Again, from the outside in, Paul's situation does not look very good. He's in chains. He can't get out of the situation. Probably people think it's all over. They're starting to tell a story about the situation. Oh, Paul, yeah, well, you had a good run, you know, just to preach the gospel, but now it's probably all over, and it's too bad for Paul, you know. And they start because they had a different perspective than Paul did. Again, Paul understood, God has actually put me here. Imagine the kind of faith that would be required that you would be in prison and you would think, God's put me here. And that you would take your situation and you would actually begin to turn it into a revival. People are getting saved, things are happening. And Paul's going, hey, don't worry, don't tell that story. Don't feel bad for me. I'm excited because, man, the gospel's being preached. People are being saved. Things are happening here in the jail. Don't worry about me, because Paul had a different perspective than everybody around him. And the story he told, the narrative he brought up about his situation, about his life, about his circumstance, was different because of his heavenly perspective. So let me give you another example of this in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We know this one really well. Samuel walks in. He sees Eliab. He's about to choose the next king. And he sees Eliab and he goes, that's the king. Look at that guy. Handsome, tall. I mean, just like your pastor, right? He's just thinking, wow, there he is, the next king. And Samuel comes in and he says, and God says to him, Samuel, I don't work that way. I don't just look at what's on the outside. I look at what's on the inside. I look at what's going on the inside. I see things very differently. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts higher than your thoughts. You see, when you begin to put your mind around the God thought of your situation, what does God think about this situation? What's God's perspective in this situation? You'll begin to understand that there's always a story behind the story. You'll begin to understand that God is up to something. And I've been saying it for 2 years. Hang on, church. God's up to something. I know this COVID thing has been hard, and I know it's been a challenge, but God knows what he's doing. He's building the church, and he knows what he's doing. And so if I could just trust the Lord, and if I can just see things from God's perspective, if I can just get my thoughts up to where the Lord is, I might tell a different story about the situation I'm in. I might begin to see, oh, God wants to use me to minister to people around me. I remember my wife's grandfather in the hospital when he was in his last few days on earth, a missionary, and loved the Lord. He was an incredible man of God. And I just remember the last few days that he was in the hospital, it's like he's just ministering. He's like, his health is diminishing. He's ministering to everybody. He's thinking, I'm going out with fire. Like, I'm just going to bring as many people with me into eternity that I can. And I'm thinking, God, that's the way I want to live in every situation. Not just when it's at the end of my days, but in every situation where I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? Where are you at? What's this up to? What are you doing? I've known a lot of people that have given up in the last 2 years, given up on God, given up on the church. That's not me, because I'm trying to, now it's been hard because it's been a lot of challenge the last 2 years, but I'm trying to get my thoughts up to where God is. Okay, God, I'm seeing it too much from the natural. I need to see it from the supernatural. What is it that you're doing right now on planet Earth? That's why I said yesterday, everything that's going on in the world today is just a distraction. It's just a distraction. Everything always is kingdom of God. It's kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. Every attack you see, it's somehow, some way the enemy trying to come after the church. That's what he's after. He's after the church. And if we can just change our perspective and get our thoughts a little higher and ask the Lord, God, what do you think? How do you see this situation? What are you doing? Because Paul said, I want you to know what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. I know you're feeling sorry for me. I know you're feeling bad, but it's all good. God's using this to do something significant on planet Earth. God, help me to have that kind of perspective. Now, this is interesting, because watch this now. Paul says, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel, but then he doesn't talk about what happened to him. He doesn't talk about what happened. He's like some of us, like, let me tell you my sob story right now. Let me just kind of give you all the bad things that are going on in my life. Let me just kind of lead you. That's not what Paul does. He says, what has happened to me? But then he doesn't talk about what has happened. He doesn't complain about the injustice of being locked up or the horrible living conditions. All he does is focus on what God is doing. Now, imagine in your life, when you're walking through hard situations, if you just ask God to give you a different perspective, and if you just ask and challenge yourself to focus not on the injustice, not on the pain, focus on God, what are you doing in my life? God, what is it that you want to accomplish? Where do you get the glory? What story are you telling? Because when you walk it out, you walk it out because it does something in your own spirit. When some people say, like, oh, man, I'm so sorry for what you're going through. Yeah, I know, it's hard, but you know what? God is up to something. I don't see it yet, maybe, but God's doing something. And it begins to change the perspective and the story that you tell. Number three, so we're going to start getting a God perspective. Number three, I can celebrate the progress even when I don't like the pain. I can celebrate the progress even when I don't like the pain. You don't have to like how it felt to appreciate the change it created in you. Again, understanding that God is always up to something. He's trying to bring a breakthrough in your spirit. He's trying to do something inside of you. He's after something inside of you. And again, if we can miss out so much of what God wants to do, if we just end up focusing entirely on praying for our situation to change. Again, yeah, we pray for miracles. We believe for miracles. We'll lay hands on people for miracles. Yeah, I want to see God change your situation. But sometimes you pray for the situation and it gets worse. Have you ever done that? I've done that. I pray, like, Pastor, can you pray for me? Yeah. You pray for them and they get sicker or they get worse. And you're like, wow, okay, man of paste and flour, not faith and power over here. I'm trying to believe God with you, and it's getting worse. Change can be painful. It can be hard. And some of you are walking through and have walked through pain. And it's not that we celebrate the pain. I knew this one guy one time. He hurt himself horribly. Like, it was this horrible accident. Did all this damage. I'm like, dude, are you okay? Like, he showed up the next day. And he's like, I'm like, oh, man, are you okay? He's like, oh, man, just glory to God. Like, and I was like, yeah, this, like, his hand was, like, severed and cut really deep. Like, glory to God. It's all for, you know, God's glory. I'm like, okay, that seems a little phony to me. Like, you know, like, you don't have to be like, look, I cut myself and hurt myself so bad. Isn't God good? Well, that's a little weird, okay? It's like, no, let's not be weird, Christians. But you can say, God is still good despite what I've gone through. Despite the pain I'm experiencing right now, God is still good. That the confession of your mouth and the attitude of your heart is God is still good. That's what we call a mature faith. That's what we call a mature faith. It's a faith that realizes, you know, there is pain and there's struggle and there's hardship. And even though I would never choose it, I wouldn't change it. I mean, you go through stuff. God changes you. We took over a church in 2015. The first 2 years were hard. The first few years put scars on us. We always joke, the first year we took over the church, there was 80 people there. And through our great leadership and faith, we grew it all the way to 50 people. You know, it was powerful, incredible. What God did, and it was hard. People walking out, people leaving, and they didn't know us. But I wouldn't change it, even though I would never choose it, because what God did in me, I celebrate God, what the Lord did in us through that process. And it was a breakthrough in our spirit. And that's what God is after in you, to be the kind of mature people of God, mature people of faith that can walk through some situations, have some chains on your hands and go, I don't know how I'm going to be free on the outside, but the devil's not going to get to what's on the inside. The devil's not going to get my joy. He's not going to get my faith. He's not going to get my trust in the goodness of God, that we will see the goodness of God on the land of the living, that I would trust the Lord through every high and every low. I still trust the Lord. That's what God is after when I talk about your chains. Romans 8, 28, we all know this one. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So take captive the thoughts. Demolish the strongholds. God is right with you. He's using whatever situation you are in to bring about his purpose in you. You might not see a breakthrough right now in your situation, but you can believe God for a breakthrough in your own spirit. You can believe God for a breakthrough in your own spirit. Here's number four, the last one this morning. I can rejoice even when I don't feel like it. Paul said, verse 18, and because of this, because of what? Because I'm in chains. Because God is using this situation. Because the gospel is going forth. I can rejoice. And yes, I will continue to rejoice. Now, he's not rejoicing because he just got good news. Like, hey, Paul, you're going to be set free. No, that's not why he was rejoicing. He was rejoicing because God was doing something. But I believe this. He was rejoicing because the rejoicing was a byproduct of a decision he had already made before the chain ever came onto his hands. He was rejoicing because he'd already made the decision. Doesn't matter what happens, I'm still going to choose to rejoice. That's why he can pen a whole epistle from prison talking about joy, talking about rejoicing, because he had already made the decision. Doesn't matter what comes, I'm going to rejoice. Doesn't matter what comes, I'm going to rejoice. When the primary priority of your soul is the glory of God, nothing else holds weight in the court of your reasoning. I'm going to say that again. Because it's good. When the primary priority of your soul is the glory of God, then nothing else holds weight in the court of your reasoning. You can't reason your way out of rejoicing and worship. Because only thing that matters to you is that God gets the glory. The only thing that matters is that people hear the gospel. The only thing that matters is that lives are transformed. That people are going to experience God in eternity. That's all that matters. Glory of God. And we don't understand sometimes how he gets the glory. But if your faith and your trust is that's what matters most, is primary priority, then nothing else, no other excuse, no other thing can reason you out of worshiping the Lord. Nothing else. So when that thought comes, you rejoice. When that struggle comes, you lift up your hands. When you feel like you can't go on, something deep inside you says, I will glorify the Lord and I will exalt his name no matter what. And you can always tell the kind of people that live this way. When they come to church, you know right away the people who have been through some stuff. Because they understand worship and they approach worship a little bit differently than maybe you and I do. The people have walked through some pain and they've been through some stuff and God has seen them through. They worship differently. Nobody has to say, hey, come on, get your hands in the air. Nobody has to say, come on, church, let's worship. Nobody has to tell them what to do. They're right there, front row, hands lifted before the service even begins. They're praying in the spirit. Before we even start praying, they've already got a song in their heart. They show up to church. God's already been speaking to them because they've been meeting with the Lord all morning. And they come in and they go, wow, Pastor, you're speaking on what God spoke to me today. Wow, I already knew you were going to preach this. It happens to me all the time in the church. The people I know that they've walked through pain and they've had chains in their situations. And they show up and God has set them free. And they realize there's been a breakthrough in my spirit. And because of that, I worship different. Nothing. No thing can dissuade me or distract me from the purpose of God in my life, because I know at the end of the day, if he gets the glory, that's all that matters. He gets the glory. He gets the glory. He gets the glory. He gets the glory. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. You bring a sacrifice of praise, and a sacrifice, so you know, costs you something. A sacrifice costs you something. And when I say a sacrifice of praise, I'm talking about it's a sacrifice when you're walking through a valley and all you feel is darkness and all you feel is fear and you feel alone and you feel isolated and you're in a dark place. Man, it's a sacrifice to get your hands in the air and just say, Lord, I'm going to exalt you today. Lord, I'm going to lift up your name. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand how you're going to see me through. I don't know how you're going to get the glory. But Lord, I choose to exalt you. I choose to lift up your name. I wrote it this way. You can let your chains break your praise, or you can let your praise break your chains. There's something that breaks off of you when you just make the decision, I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise the Lord. Doesn't make sense. I don't really want to, but I'm going to just choose. And I'll tell you, I've been in places. I mean, I've been in through valleys and pain, and I've preached angry before, you know, because stuff going on in our life. I'm just angry at the people and the devil, and just you preach angry, and not a lot of fruit from that. But, you know, this is just being real with you this morning. But here's the thing, is that a lot of times, in those seasons, even as a pastor, you show up at church and it's like, I don't really want to be here, but I have to because it's my job. And there are mornings in church where I think, okay, God. And honestly, there are times, you'll see me, I'll be in the front row. I've got my hands lifted. I'm singing before the worship team even starts because I know I need to activate something inside of myself that's not there yet. Because I got to have something to give to other people that morning. So I got to activate it. I got to choose to rejoice. But it's a choice you can make. You can choose to sulk your way through a season. You can choose to isolate yourself through a season. Or you can choose to say, as difficult as it is. And again, these are not easy decisions. It's not easy when you're feeling pain. Not easy when you feel like I'm not sure how I'm going to make it through. But you can make the decision. Get yourself into the house of the Lord. Get yourself into the presence of God. Get yourself even up to the front row before worship. Get yourself to prayer before the service starts. Tell them, hey, somebody's got to lay hands on me because I need Jesus right now. That's okay. That's what the community of God is for. In the last 2 years, too many people have isolated themselves and removed themselves from the community of God. And then they've wondered, why am I struggling so bad? Let me tell you, I can give you a few reasons why. Because when you remove yourself, something happens in the church that can happen nowhere else. The sitting under the anointing of the teaching of the word, whether it's good or bad, whether it's great, mighty, or just kind of average, it doesn't matter. Something happens in the presence of the Lord and in worship. Things get aligned in your spirit, in your heart and mind that don't happen anywhere else. You get in the presence of the Lord and you lift your hands and you're like, that's right, God is good. Okay, tell yourself, it's all right. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That I'm praising the Lord. And so you might be in chains, but you're making the decision, I'm going to bless the Lord. You might be in chains, but I'm going to make the decision like Paul did. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. And you see this all the time in the Psalms. There's that rejoicing quite often actually is an act of the will. You know, we're over here waiting for the anointing. Like it's some, you know, magical kind of thing that just as soon as the anointing falls, that's when I'm going to respond. No, it's not the way it works. Is that when God is, he's always there, but there's something about the manifest glory and power of God that comes when the people of God respond, when they bring an offering. In Leviticus, it says, you're not allowed to appear before the Lord empty-handed. You see, the nation of Israel, they understood that anytime you came into the temple, the tabernacle, you brought a gift to the Lord. And your gift sometimes is that sacrifice of praise when you walk into the presence of the Lord and you don't want to do it. It's the last thing you want to do. But you come into the presence of the Lord and say, God, my sacrifice to you is I begin to worship. And when you do, somehow something starts to move in your spirit. It's when a breakthrough begins to happen and the chains start to fall off in your spirit, even though you got chains and everybody knows your chains and everybody knows your story and you're facing a battle and it's an uphill battle and you don't know how you're going to make it through. You don't know where you're going to turn, but can I tell you, you can walk through a situation where you've got chains on your hands, but you have freedom in your spirit because a breakthrough has come in your spirit. And you've made the decision, I will bless the Lord at all times. I have the worship team come back up this morning and join me. My spirit does not need to be a reflection of my situation. The story I tell is shaped by the perspective I have. I can celebrate the progress even when I don't like the pain, and I can rejoice even when I don't feel like it. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I'm done preaching, and I just want to give a moment for the Holy Spirit to minister today. Minister to you, wherever you're at. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, just right now, in your presence, God, we acknowledge the presence of the Lord and the presence of your Holy Spirit just to begin to minister to people this morning. And there's a lot of things we could do this morning, but here's what I feel in my spirit just right now, is that I want to lean into this fourth point. And the Bible talks about singing in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. And when we talk about singing in the Spirit, what we're referring to is this idea that there's no words on the screen, and I'm purely singing what the Holy Spirit is putting on my heart to sing at any point in time. And so, again, if you're in a place this morning and you got some chains in your situation, you're going through something. Maybe you've got some scars in your life from some stuff you've gone through and it's held you back from, and you've come through, but you just haven't really got free in Jesus because you got some pain and some things lingering in your heart a little bit. This morning, I want us to break through those areas, and I want us to break through into a new level of praise and worship and see what the Holy Spirit will begin to transform in your life. And here's what we're going to do. It's just in a minute. And so we're just going to begin to sing in the Spirit, and you're going to sing your own words. There's no words on the screen. You're just going to begin to sing your own words as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. Maybe it's a spiritual language and you speak in tongues. Maybe you are quoting a scripture. Maybe you're just telling God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for seeing me through. God, thank you for seeing me through. Thank you for bringing me through to the other side. And we're just going to worship the Lord a little bit. We're just going to spend a few minutes praying and singing in the Spirit of God, because there's a breakthrough He wants to bring in your spirit this morning. So come on, church, let's just begin to lift our voices and spend a few minutes in worship. And if you've never done this before and it's uncomfortable, that's okay. Just lean in. If we all do it together, then nobody feels weird. Come on, just sit.